Today, I want to speak about fathers, but more specifically, our Father which art in heaven. Hallowed be his name. Hallelujah. God is a father to us. God as father to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we as fathers to our children. When I think of Christ's fatherhood, it says his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, or the Father of Ages, as it's translated sometimes. And I think about many times we are speaking about the Father, and Jesus said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. And so all our devotion and love, as much as we want to give glory to the Heavenly Father, we should be giving glory to Jesus Christ, who is the divine personage of all that the Father is in humanity. That is the only way we possibly can understand this. And I want to be able to look at an old scripture in Luke chapter 15, which I'm sure I have preached on before. And in Luke 15, it speaks about the prodigal, and it tells the story of his leaving and obviously his return. But I see in this scripture some beautiful applications of our Father which art in heaven. And as I think about this, we come up with basic things would have said many times. I've had some things at the end I'd like to share. But you think about the earthly goods and pleasures will flee, as we saw in the prodigal's life. It tells a story just to refresh your memory, as you certainly know it, that the father had two sons. One said, divide with us the inheritance, and the other son stayed home. But the younger son, it seemed, went off, and he spent all his money in loose living, it appears, and ended up taking care of swine in one of the in a foreign country. And there he came to himself, came back to his father, and his father welcomes him and rejoices and gives him the best in the house. And the elder brother is upset about this, but the father also counsels and comforts the elder son. But in that we see that, as I said, earthly goods and pleasures are fleeting. We're not going to have all the things of this world, but the love of the Father, it remains constant and endures throughout eternity. And that's the beauty of it. As you are meditating on anything else, it's the love of God the Father seen in the person of Jesus Christ that we have such a beautiful inheritance in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Obviously, the sins sins rewards are bondage and depravity, which the son fell into when he lost all the earthly goods that he had. And we will die in the company of pigs, or we will live in the glory of the Father. I don't think there's much of a choice there. I want to live in the glory of God Almighty. Amen? And I thank God for that. As I look at you folks and I look at all the people, I think, what will it take to bring you to a place where you will come to the Father and you will come to Jesus Christ? Will it take ending up in a pigsty where you realize finally, or will it take something less than that? I thank God that many of us had made a commitment to Jesus Christ, and we are turning from the things of the world as best as we yield to the Holy Spirit. Jesus is waiting. That's the beauty of what the parable is speaking to us. And we have to realize that we can turn back and look around and examine yourselves. Is the world so precious to you that you would take the world over eternal life with Jesus Christ? I pray that you would accept Christ, the Father's best, certainly waiting for you at his side, and we thank God for that. We can forgive as we have been forgiven is what the eldest son had to learn. He had to be able to accept his younger brother back and then rejoice with the father that his son had returned. So I begin to have observations about the father, and I would wonder, and I give this to all the fathers and the mothers too, should the father have stopped the son from leaving home and and being broken so terribly? Should he have stopped him? And obviously we know the outcome, so what if he'd have said, no, I'm not giving you the money, and you get back to work? You think about that, would that have kept that younger son in his father's love, and would he have realized all the love that the father had to give him? Or should he have said, please consider what you're about to do before you take out and leave, or consider what lies out there? Obviously, it worked out in the case for the prodigal, but the father didn't really seem to stop him. The prodigal says to the father, and the father gave me, give me the portion that falleth to me, and he divided it unto them, his living. He didn't even seem to say anything, or at least the scripture is silent on that. And so, as I said, this case worked out good because the son realized the evils of the world and the futility of seeking only riches. But there are cases where it doesn't work out like that. That is why I asked the question, should the father have made a stand and said, no, you can't go? I thought about the Greek a mythology story of Icarus and his father Daedalus. And if you remember the story where they were imprisoned on an island, and Daedalus, the father of Icarus, made wings out of feathers and of wax for them to fly away. And Daedalus, before he left the island, he instructed his son, don't fly too high, that you'll get too close to the sun and it'll melt the wax. And don't fly too low, close, or the moisture from the water in the ocean will rise up and it will waterlog, so to speak, the wings, and that's a danger. Well, Daedalus flew off with his wings, and Icarus, his son, started to follow, got so enamored and so felt so great that he was able to fly, and he flew and soared as high as he could, and before you knew it, he was flapping his wings, and the feathers were going, and he ended up with nothing but his arms flapping. And he drowned in the ocean. In this case, it didn't work out so well that the father had failed to give, not that he failed to give instructions, but he failed to keep his son from doing that. And my thought was, should we as fathers keep our sons and our daughters from doing certain things? The scriptures seem to be silent on the attitude that was in the son before he left the security of his father and a loving family. What was his attitude? What a slap in the face for the father, for him to say, divide for me my inheritance. This is like asking the father, you know, just die and leave me what is mine. And had the father done enough to train his son in the way that he should go, to have proper respect towards God and toward his father? Was there a failing on the father's part? I still run this through my mind, and if it's anything in my life, it's maybe that at times I've been too much of what they call a helicopter parent. We just sort of circle around our children and try and hold them from having any kind of difficulty. But there is the thoughts of tough love. It may be love, but when you are dealing with your children, there's a way to present certain things, and there was a way not to. In Ephesians 6:11, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, which is the first commandment with a promise, that you may live long upon this earth. Then it goes on to, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but by the way you treat them, rather bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. So there is a way to instruct your children, train up a child in the way that he should go, and there is a way to be too harsh with your children. I believe that fatherhood begins long before the child is born. And I believe that fatherhood begins with each and every father out there, that we begin to develop character in our life. We begin to have a character that emulates the things of Jesus Christ. As it said, train up the child in the way that he should go. When he's a man, he will not depart from it. But our training needs to have also been given to us and needs to have come from the Lord. And maybe some of you came to the Lord at a later point in your life. You need, as much as anyone, to be putting yourself into the things of God and looking to develop a godly character. Maybe even as if your child has gone astray or your son has left, there's still time for you to be able to show the life that can be transformed by the presence of Jesus Christ. The Bible, as it says, train up a child, is a principle, but it is not a guarantee, as we can see so many people that have been brought up in godly households, and at least the father thought that he was training them up in the way that they should go, but some have strayed miserably. We must be constantly looking to the Lord. That is the first one to look to. Amen? If you're trusting in your own abilities to be able to direct and guide your children, your first observation and your first dedication should be to the Lord. The Bible says in Psalms, it said, unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Unless the Lord watch the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It must be the Lord who is on guard. And you must be looking to him and not just giving a service to the thought that you're trusting God alone. The Father must emulate Christ in everything that he does. Are you emulating Christ? I just thought it was an interesting scripture when Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, the Father can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. How many fathers out there have seen their sons emulating or imitating them when they do certain things? I have watched that even with Eric and Wesley, how Eric will do something and Wesley tries to emulate or imitate what he has seen his father do. And I had watched my sons do much the same thing as they. So I just love to watch the Andy Griffith Show. Doesn't that put me in a good place here? You know, I love those old shows. I told you this before. I used to watch a show called Father Knows Best. Who remembers that show? None of the kids raised their hand. Now the show they watch is Father Knows Nothing. I mean, I know, not really, but it seems like that when you see these shows on television. But Opie is always trying to emulate Andy, and I love that when they're walking along. You know, it's just a good thought for me to watch that show and think about that love. I also think about the fatherhood of God toward Jesus, God the Father, and Jesus as the Son. It's the perfect father, obviously, to the perfect son. And we may learn a lesson of perfection in this, but we will fall short of achieving, obviously, that perfect relationship that the Father, God, has with Jesus the Son. But we should never fail to seek to do that. Christ said, be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect, meaning that should at least be our mindset. Who wants the best for their son out there? Do you want anything less than the best? Many of you, as I, would be willing to sacrifice yourself for your son's ease of life. I would do anything that my sons would not have to go through some of the stupid things that I have done in my life. I would keep them from that, but again, that's back to the question, should the father have stopped the son? So, therefore, we must constantly be looking to the Lord and setting your child up for success. I believe that we need to set our children up for success. I believe that going to church and attending a service and bringing your child up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord is the best thing or part of that best thing that you can possibly do. When you set them up for success, you're doing all that you can think of doing so that they might have a good life. I remember on my way to New York, I had two huge suitcase. You used to have everybody travel with suitcases in that day. Now the kids have duffel bags. But I had these two huge suitcases, and I was leaving Altoona, Pennsylvania, on my way up to New York to seek my fortune. And so my father saw those two suitcases, and he laid them both down on the living room floor and opened them up and started throwing things out. And he took everything out of the suitcases and put back what he figured I needed, and I only had one suitcase. When I got off the train in Grand Central, I was so happy that I only had one suitcase to lug through the city. I had no idea where I was going. I was a hick Altoona kid coming to New York City, and when I walked into that place, I was thanking God that my father had set me up for success rather than trying to drag two suitcases through town. It's the little things that we can do in our children's life that will help them as they go on with life. And I have been trying to do that with my son. You heard Michael say that. The best thing that we possibly could do for them is to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ and get their eyes focused on the Lord. And throughout our lives, we should equip our children with the truth of the love of Christ. Know that they have a fallen nature. Let them know that they have a fallen nature. Let them know that the world is deceptive and will play upon that fallen nature to drag them into things that are not of God and will end up like the prodigal son, destroying their lives, at least for that time. You have to give your sons, first of all in their life, and believe me this, Jesus Christ. It's more than just saying, again, the sinner's prayer. It's getting them to understand who Christ is and have them emulate Christ and to be filled with the Spirit of God, walking in a spiritual sense in the truth of God Almighty. And love them, obviously, as the prodigal's father did. Love them and always give them a way back. So that if they fail, they can come back. I remember my father said to my sister, who was a very virtuous young lady, and I don't know if she was on her way to college, but he said to her, my father was straight ahead, he said, Elaine, I don't want you to get pregnant, but if you do, I want you to come home. My father always was there for my sister and for me. And he never wanted her to be so fearful that she might do something to get into a deeper situation than he thought the world might lead her into. My sister didn't get pregnant. She married a wonderful man who ended up being a lieutenant colonel in the Navy. My sister has since passed away. But I thank God that she walked with the Lord Jesus Christ throughout her life, and I give God glory for that. But my father was always trying to set us up for success, but my father, not that he was a pessimist, but he was a realist, and he understood that the world could bring a person down, and he wanted us to be prepared for that and also know that we could come back. There was a way back to come and back to the house. That's what I love the father in the prodigal, that he ran out to meet his son. Can't you imagine that beautiful picture? Here is his son finally coming back, and he runs out and throws his arms around him and brings him in and gives him the best clothes and the shoes and a ring for his finger. Just as Christ has always stood there with open arms, ready to receive any sinner that will come to him. I thank God that Jesus Christ was patient with all of us as we have all strayed and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen? But our training for our children, as I said, must be Christ-centered. We need to train up a child in the way that he should go, looking to Christ as the author and finisher of his faith, and whatever they do, let them do heartily, demonstrate to him the character of God. It must be demonstrated in your life because a child will observe you in the most infinitesimal things that you do. your child will observe everything you do and will seek to emulate that. And if you are showing that you are not just giving a word service to your love for Christ, but you are living as Christ would live, then you can be assured that your son will give consideration to that as he grows. Tell him when you are not consistent in your life with the things of Christ. At times I've had to tell my son and said, you know, listen, I'm sorry I said this or that, or I'm sorry I did that. It wasn't proper. And many times Lillian has pointed out to me, which she is diligent to do whenever I make a mistake, especially with the boys. But I thank God for that she was diligent to point out the best thing to do and the best advice to give. You want the best for your children, for your sons and your daughters. Now I'm looking to all the ladies and little girls in this church who I've watched grow from just a small little girls, just grown beautiful young ladies. And my prayer for them is that they will follow the things of the Lord as well as the sons, that the daughters also. But so now I look at Luke 15, and I told you the story, but there's something that we need to look at before we look at Luke 15, 11. It's the beginning of Luke 15. It said, then drew near to him all the publicans and sinners, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he had found it, he layeth on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Then he said, either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And then he goes after that into the story of the prodigal son. And so what I'm looking at is the thought that it is character that matters here. It's character development. It's the character of the shepherd who had a sheep go astray, and he knew the character of that sheep. Sheep just wandered on off, maybe went back to a grass patch they had been at before or a watering hole, but the sheep just wanders off not thinking about anything. But that shepherd knew the character of that sheep and what he was like, and so he probably went looking for him in the places that he knew that he might inhabit or return to. And so he was able to find that sheep. The character of the shepherd was to go and seek and even to leave the 99, hopefully in a safe place, but go seek that which is lost. And that shows us the character of the Father to ever be searching for those things which are lost. And the woman that lost the 10 coins, she had a character of searching because she knew the character or the characteristics of the coin she had lost. Well, a coin drops and it rolls and it stops, and the place where it stops, there it will stay. The Bible said she swept the house and looked diligently until she found the coin. And that is what I see in the person of Jesus Christ representing the Father which art in heaven. And finally, we see the character of the Father represented in the story of the prodigal son. I believe that he knew the character of his son. He knew that his son was eager to get going and be out on his own and to do his own thing. But I believe with all my heart that the character of the father was this, that throughout this young man's life, he told him of the things of God and he trained him in the proper manner that he should go. But the elder son seemed to grasp it more and understood. But the younger son was that son that just needed to have one final lesson, which the father at this point only could pray that what he had instilled in the child would come to fruition by the catalyst of the world's influence. And so the father let him go with the prayer that he would be broken as much as it would take until he returned to the serenity of his home. And our Father, which art in heaven, has that kind of character. The character of the shepherd, because he will seek until he finds that lost one. The character of the woman who will search diligently until she has found that lost coin. So God in the person of Christ will do the same. Think of God, if God was this father. I went that through my mind too. Who is this? Who is the father in this parable? Is it Jesus Christ? Is it God the Father? Is it every man? Is it you? Who is it? Think of it being as God the Father. And of course, Jesus wouldn't be the straying son. But God the Father and how he treated his son, he sent his son into the world knowing the character of son. The character of the son, Jesus Christ, was one that would go in and do everything the father had instructed him to do because he was a perfect son. And Jesus had perfect trust in his perfect father. And so we see that when he went into the world, it was a matter of character and not of character building because Christ obviously was that. But when I think about the prodigal going out there, I think about how the father had certainly been diligent in instructing him in the way that he should go. But back to the thought, it was the character of the seeker that was the key element in this parable. God the Father has given us such love and such patience in our lives that we should be giving him glory in everything we do and seeking to emulate him as we are training up our children in the way that they should go. Amen? What an intimate relationship the father has with his son. And in eternity, imagine them saying that, as the father said, who shall go? And Christ said, I will go, send me. And he comes here to this world to die for your sins and for mine. The prodigal's father, knowing the character of his son, I believe, thought when the son finally did come to his senses that he would return. That's why I believe the prodigal's father stood at the gate daily, looking out for his son, watching for his son, preparing for his son. And thank God, his son did return. I thank God that there's so many of you in this congregation that have come to Jesus Christ. And if you are dealing with a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter, let them know that you are going to be there when they return and repent. I bless each and every one that is going through those difficult times. I believe that we need to give our children a God consciousness. My father gave me a God consciousness, and he didn't even realize that. My father, and I've told you this before, my father was a door-to-door sweeper salesman, and he didn't make, I don't think if he ever made, $10,000 or $12,000 in a year. But my father, when he would bring whatever he made home, if he sold a sweeper, I forget what he would get on that, $50 or $70 or whatever, he would come home, and as soon as he walked in the door, they would take that money, and if it was $50, $5 went up in the cupboard on the right-hand side in a little I still remember that, looking at that thing. And every time he came back to the house after having worked, he put money up in that cupboard. And it stayed there for 6 days until my father took it down, gave it to my mother, and she put it up in the tithing envelope on the Sunday morning. That has instilled in me something to say my father was trusting God. He was looking to God. My father was far from perfect, but he looked to God in that instance, and it encouraged me also. We should give our children a God conscious. My father never would shoot the gun on, he was a hunter and fisher as I, or I as he, but he never would shoot the gun on Sunday. He had great respect for Sunday, and he always went to church on Sundays. And he gave me that, just by his doing, his actions, he gave me that sense of a God consciousness, and he prayed at every meal. And it was a basic prayer, but he gave time to return thanks. I told you that even though my father was doing those things, there was a time when my father made a real commitment to Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior at my kitchen table in the home where we live now. And I believe that in every family, either the father, the son, or the grandchild, somewhere along that lineage, that God will touch them in a special way, and they will either influence their father or influence their son, or their son will influence them, the grandchild. Somewhere in your line, there's going to be somebody that God is going to touch and be able to minister the truth of the gospel to you. First thing to give your child is a God consciousness. You need to instill within them the character of Christ. It's good that my father did certain things. It's good that we wanted to have a good character. But it's more important to show them the character of Jesus Christ. Christ is the perfect son. He has the perfect character. He is the perfect father also, father of ages. He has the perfect character. The only way we can emulate that is to walk in the Spirit of God, seeking the fruit of the Spirit, to walk with that God consciousness ever engulfing us and the Spirit of God ever guiding us into the truth. I don't really have so many sermons that have 10 points to success. I would love to say that if you do this, you'll have great success. But if you follow the things that the Bible points out, you will have more success than if you didn't do them. And you will see that your chances are best because you've given it under God. And I will say you will have perfect success in this. If you trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, he will direct your path and the path of your children. They may have to have difficulties. They may have to have challenges. They may have to end up in the swine's pen. But through prayer and trust in God, I believe God will bring them to repentance. The Spirit of Christ in them. I believe that we have to have a supernatural mentality. As you have a God consciousness, you have to be looking for something beyond yourself to be able to bring forth the truth of God. I mean, we can become academically proficient and gain all knowledge, but if we lack the very Spirit of God that is that still small voice moving within us, what is academia compared to an encounter with God Almighty? I want to know, but I want to live to know even as I have been known. I look forward to that time when I will be with the Lord, and so I want to give my children a supernatural mentality to look for the miracles of God in their life and to look for the love of Christ. As we saw the prodigal father waiting there, they have to know that Christ loves them. God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Father sent his Son to die for you. I want to be able to live a life that is exalting Christ that even if I need to lay down my life for my children, they would know that it is the love of God that has compelled that. They have to know the love of God, and they have to love Christ. The love of Christ and the love for Christ. If your children can begin to love Christ for who he is, the eternal Son of God, and what he has done in being sacrificed for their sins, they will go through this life armed with a great armor that Satan will not be able to gainsay nor resist, because they stand in the power of Christ Almighty. I am loved by Christ, and I love Christ with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Train them to see with those eyes, to see with eyes that look for the Spirit of God moving in every situation. I've been seeking to develop that. I've always wanted to develop that in my family, that we look at every situation that happens and know that God is in it of a truth. There have been difficult situations in our life, in this church, but I've watched as God has worked in the midst of that to either chasten, but in that healing, restoring, and bringing his Spirit in a mighty way. In your life, if you are looking to God openly, know that God will direct you. You may have to be chastened, but do not despise the chastening of God. Amen? He chasteneth whom he loveth. And that's the kind of God we have. Give them the character of Christ. Give them the love of Christ. Give them a chance to grow in Christ. I come back to the thought, should I let my son go or should I hold him back? I'm wrestling with it. In life or death situations, it's tough to give up. I do trust in God. I have made decisions in our family at times that have been seemed harsh at the time, but have worked out for a greater good. I've made decisions in my family at times, and I've made mistakes. But I am trusting God to work all things together for good, because I love God. I love in Matthew 3, after Christ is baptized, and behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. I thank God for my sons, and I am well pleased with them as they emulate and imitate Christ and seek to do those things that are of God. If Michael and if Kayla's around, who come on up. I think about the seeking, the loving, the saving character of God. That is who loves you. Do you realize that? That's the Christ who loves you. I don't want to take it lightly. And then I think about the formation of that character in each one of us. We're all children of a father and a mother. And so I leave you with that thought, that you are loved by the perfect lover of your souls, and that God is calling you to emulate that father's love in everything you do. May God bless you in Christ's name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son. his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know.
Keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In Christ's name, amen. God bless you.